I want to think a little bit tonight about reverses, backsets, disappointments. You ever been disappointed? I remember one time when I was young, made plans to go with one of the teachers at school, said he had come pick me up. I don't remember what the event was, but I remember I was going to get a ride. He was going to come by and pick me up. And as my nature is, I was waiting down at the road for him about 15 minutes before he was supposed to get there and was anxious to go. And then it got time for him to come and he didn't come. And then it was 15 minutes after and he didn't come. And then a half hour later, I was still there. And then an hour later, I finally give it up and go back to the house, and he never come. And I remember how disappointed I was at that. Probably all of us can think about the things that happen in our life that we think about in our minds. You ever run those kind of things through your minds, what this is going to be like? And this is the way it was going to be. I remember Brother Larry Abbott saying one time that when he took his wedding vows, he said for better and worse, but he didn't know what for better or worse was. He said for better or worse, but he had no idea what the for worse was going to be. And life throws a lot of things at us, and we can get into our mind and think this is the way it's going to be. And I'm a servant of a king. I'm a servant of God. I have an expectation of how things are going to be, how it's going to work, how my life's going to go, what should happen in my life. I've got an expectation of all that. And do you know that we can be terribly wrong in how we think about what it's supposed to be? We can be terribly, terribly wrong about that. And we can then face disappointments. There's reverses about things and backsets, and when we feel like we're going and we're making progress or whatever, you feel like you're trying to do something and it goes completely haywire. It can be very, very disappointing. But I want to tell us something. God's in all of that. We need to put our hope on God. And not just the things that we think God does or what is, but to have faith in God that He's going to work the circumstances of life around. I may have an expectation if I serve the Lord, then God wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. And I have an expectation and then I get it and then something befalls me. And if there's a disappointment that happens and things don't go the way that I think that it should go, and it's disappointing, but God's still in control. There's a scripture here in Matthew 11th chapter in the 7th verse. It says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see?" That's a question mark. What was your expectations? You heard about John and what he might be. What did you go out to see? Did you have an expectation? If you did, with your human eyes, you might have been disappointed in John. If you went out there to see something supernatural, I want to tell you something about serving the Lord. If you don't know, God is a miracle working God. God can change the course of the universe. God can change the course of our lives. God can heal diseases. God can bless us in any way. He can change financial situations. God can do everything. He can do great miracles. But I'm going to tell you, most of serving God is just down where it lives. Most of serving God on a daily basis is being faithful. There isn't great miracles. There isn't fire coming out of the sky all the time. There isn't those kind of things all the time. It's down to just simple living for God, simple living faithful. Dealing with with problems of life. I had an interesting experience. I've been talking with some people. I mentioned it quite a bit. And some folks over in Pakistan wanted to put mine and Linda's picture on a poster of theirs. And they even did the poster and sent me and wanted my approval with my picture on their poster. And I looked at that and I said, of course, no from the start. No. And said, well, we want to send you the poster and then you can make up your mind. I said, I know I don't want my picture on any poster. I said, I'm not worthy to put on a poster. Let's lift up Christ and leave me out of it. I can't do nothing for anybody. Anyway, well, they sent it and it was as bad as I thought it was. I didn't want my picture on it. But I noticed their poster said something. Their poster said something to the effect of, come to God and He'll end all of your troubles. I wrote them back and said, What are you telling people? I've been living for God for quite a long time. Since 86. And He didn't end my troubles. He's been with me in my troubles. He's given a lot of grace for trouble. He give power for trouble. But He don't end trouble. And I said to them, don't tell people, disappoint them. Don't tell them that God ends your troubles. God never said that He was going to end your troubles. He will be in there with our troubles. He will help us in the troubles. Do you want to know the truth? Sometimes you have more troubles when you serve God. The Apostle Paul went against the grain and his life was full of trouble. The scripture says a man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And it doesn't change with salvation, folks. There's a lot of disappointing things that can happen in this life. There's a lot of reverses. There's a lot of things that can happen. But I want to tell you, we're to look to God, trust God, not into those circumstances. Everything doesn't have to be good. Sure, we thank God when we have beautiful weather like this. But I hope we thank Him when the weather's adverse. I mean, it may be a total reverse to us, but thank God for that too. God has purposes in everything that He done. So what's your expectation? I don't want to use this scripture just talking about John, but I want to use the question, what did you go out to see? What was your expectation about what God was going to be doing? What did you think John was going to do? Did you think he was going to go out there? I heard he was a prophet. Did you think he was going to go out there and just point you out and say, here's what you need to do? Brother, this is what's going to end your trouble. You're here now. Now it's time to end your trouble. What do you think you went out there to see? You think you went out there to see a rabbit's foot that you can rub and get answer to every problem? Do you think you got somebody out there that you can make your leader and make somebody that's going to do something for you? You went the wrong way. That's not what it is. You know how many people end up in disappointments because they put too much in people? People's fallible. All of them. God is unfallible. We admire one another. We lift one another up for the work's sake. We're supposed to do that. We're brethren. We're supposed to have a kindred with each other. We're supposed to think highly of one another. We're all supposed to have a realization that every one of us are human. We all need mercy. We all need forgiveness. We all need those kind of things. Jesus won't disappoint you. Oh, you may be disappointed, but I'm saying if you trust in the Lord, He won't disappoint you. Because what He's trying to do is more than you can ever know as a human. We cannot know when we need the back set. There's a song that used to be sung around here quite a bit, but it said something about when I thought I needed sunshine, the Lord sent a rain, and I was disappointed at it. Because I thought I needed sunshine. I was sure that I needed sunshine. And the Lord sent a rain. More gloom. I was in a need of healing. But I had my share of pain. I was looking for the mountaintop. But the valley's all that I seen. Well, what's the answer to those kind of things? They are disappointing. They can be disappointing. But God's got a purpose for the rain. It's what makes the things grow. Yeah, it can be miserable, it can be wet, but it's what makes the things work. You say, well, what could possibly help in pain? Folks, I'm going to tell you, we live in an awful prosperous time. We live in a time that it's, if God doesn't help us and stir us to serve Him, we won't do it. I've not got the ability to do it. God helps me be able to do it. He puts things in my way. He does things for me. He'll give me reminders. What did you go out to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. But what did you go? What was your expectation? What did you want to see? You wanted to see a prophet? Maybe some wanted to see a king? Somebody wanted something to do for you? What was you? Did you see this guy that was dressed in camel hair, eating locusts? And, well, honey, was he impressed? I'm going to tell you that most likely that John the Baptist in the flesh was unimpressive. Because that's the way God works. I don't think Jesus in the flesh was impressive as you come and looked on him. The prophecy of him was that he wasn't comely to look at. That he wasn't something special that way. God would have done it that way. He didn't want us to put anchor ourselves on anything fleshly. That's not what Jesus is. Jesus is love and mercy. Jesus is all the qualities of God the Father that looks down upon and lets the rain come on the just and the unjust. This is what His nature is. We're to see that and love that. Not anything else to put ourselves to. Because everything in the flesh will disappoint us somewhere along the line. There was a time where the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years. And they had called upon the Lord, and the Lord, as it was the fullness of days come, and God had made a deliverer for them. A remarkable story, but in the whole story, it speaks of everything that you and I go through. Read the story and the analogies of it, and it'll show the Christian life from the time that God delivered them out of the land of Egypt was a bondage, which was the type of sin, right on in their journey. It represents it so well about our journey. And if you remember the children of Israel, they come out of Egypt by a mighty hand. God had confounded all of Egypt's gods. The ten plagues was a confounding of the gods of Egypt. He proved to the Egyptians, but more than that, He proved to the Israelites who had been tainted by the gods of that world, and He brought them out of there, and their hope had to be out of bondage. What a wonderful idea. 400 years at the hard taskmaster of the Egyptians, and their families and their lineage, and now God has moved with a mighty hand, sent Moses down there. Yeah, they had their, here comes our deliverer. We gotta make brick without straw. What kind of a deliverer are you? I want my deliverer to come in on a big white horse, and I want him to have power in his sword, and I want him to strike them down and get me out of here without making bricks without straw. But that's not what God did, because they wasn't ready to be delivered. They wasn't ready for it. God had to work with them. And so they had reverses as they went. But they got delivered. You remember, they come out and they travel a ways. And now here comes the Pharaoh's army. And it looks like a total reverse. What, they're going to die in the wilderness now? They're going to die out there. And up against the sea. And God performs another miracle. And boy, it should be just smooth sailing now. God has proved Himself against the gods of the Nile, the gods of heaven, the ones that sends the fire, and the gods that take care of the insects, the gods, and our God confounded all of them. And now He split the Red Sea, and they go on the other side, and they sing Song of Moses and Deliverance and Hallelujah, and it's a great time, and it's straight on to the promise that God made to Abraham. We've got a land now, promised to us, a land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, and this is straight shot there. And they end up at the banks of the Jordan. Remember the story? The children of Israel were told that they were going to go to a place. The idea was they're going to go and they was going to inherit a land and cities that they didn't build and have vineyards that they didn't plant. And I know what that would sound like to me. Man, let's go. There ain't a soul in there. God's got this thing wrapped up and no problem. We're ready to go in. So if you remember, they went over there and got on the banks and, well, we better send the spies, and the 12 spies go over there and spy the place out and come back. Remember the story? And come back of them, and 10 come back and gave their report. And their report was is that it's a land flowing with milk and honey, all right. And there's grapes and pomegranates, and this place is fruitful for sure, and it's all that. And there's also big, thick, walled cities, and we're like grasshoppers to these people over there. They're giants, and there's no way that we can take it. We are defeated before we start. There is no way. Wait a minute. You just had all that, and now you come down, and you got this, and you can't. And no, this is the situation. What a reverse. What do you think those people felt like after believing they were going to come out of the land of Egypt and they were going to go? And listen to this. People that didn't have nothing now is going to have property rights. I've got a lot of land that's mine. I can work on it. I can plant it. I can build a home, raise a family. I own something. This is mine. They all wanted that. They longed for it. They wanted out of the bondage. They wanted something. What a hope and a desire that they must have had for the promise of God that had been handed to them, and now it's being fulfilled. I can have this. I can have this. I'm going to tell you, that's so typical of spiritual life. I have heard people over and over claim the promises of the Word of God as if there's nothing to do but claim them. There was a promise made to the children of Israel, but there was a lot more than just saying, that's my land. God brought them to the place that it's your land. Have faith in God. Go get it. Here it is. He never cleared the enemy out. He didn't do that. And they, you remember the story? There was two, I believe Caleb and Joshua, that had the same report of what they saw, their eyes saw. Surely it's true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Surely there's walled cities. Surely there's people. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And then what did they say? And we be well able. We're well able to go get what God promised. He's promised and proved himself to be God. They didn't accept the reverse. The back set. They said, God, march through. Yes, it's a back set. We didn't expect there to be giants there. We didn't expect the cities to be like that. It looked like a promise that was clear and open, and we could go right in, and now it's not the way it looked like. And God promised. You know, God's promise was just as real as it ever was. He didn't tell them all that. He just said, I'm going to give you this. It's yours to get. And the scripture says that all of Israel wept that night after all that they had been through, all the years of bondage, all the hope of the land they was going to gain, all the deliverance that God had made had now come up to the banks of Jordan, and nothing but tears, nothing but weeping. There's nothing left. What are we going to do now? And the idea was this, if you remember, some of the leaders said, let's go back. Nothing left now. Go back to Egypt. Nothing here for us. What a terrible disappointment that must have been to those people. We face reverses in life. What did you expect when you started serving God? I'm going to tell you what the truth is. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. Even to the end of the world. The promise is that your battles, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. He didn't say there wouldn't be battles. He said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God, and I'll fight your battles for you. I will be there to give you victory in your battles. You'll have battles plenty. You'll have to fight your flesh. You'll have to fight the systems of the world. You'll have to do that. But I'll be with you to strengthen you, to encourage you, to help you through the reverses of life. I'll be there to give you more than you ever thought you could do. I'll give you strength. I'll bless you in it. But they wept all night. They got to the point, I believe, if I'm not mistaken in that, that they finally, after being reproved, said, well, we'll go ahead and go up. And they said, you can go, but God ain't going with you now. God ain't going with you. I wouldn't want to go if God ain't going with me. When Jesus made his arrival, he came as a lowly baby in a manger. But when Jesus come, there was a great expectation of what Christ, the Messiah, would do. Many of the people believed that the prophecies meant that he was going to come and that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And those that were embittered in their hearts against the system that had abused them, that they were second, third, fourth class people, that they wasn't admired, they wasn't looked up, they were put down, they were kept in a certain way, they were taxed unfairly. There was all these things that happened to them under the Roman system, and there was always the idea that there is a Messiah going to come and correct that, because he's going to fight our enemies for us, and that's our enemies. I don't mean to get into the political idea, but Joe Biden isn't our enemy that God's talking about. The senators aren't either. The Congress, we're to pray for the rulers and leaders, but that's not what Jesus is going to come to do, to overthrow. He did come to overthrow something. He came to overthrow our own fleshly ideas and ways. He came to conquer our inner man. When Jesus came, they thought of him as being the... And so they put him up and said, is this the Messiah? Is this the one? And surely when they started seeing Jesus performing miracles that nobody else could do, when he started turning water into wine, what an expectation that must have grew in their hearts and minds. Is this the one? If he can turn water into wine, this is the one that can overthrow. This is the one that can change the system. I've got such an expectation. I recently talked to someone that their expectation of God was that the U.S. political system was going to be overthrown and turned to a conservative idea. Well, we all hope, or most of us would hope, that we would hold to the values of that we have. God's God if he doesn't do that. That could be a major reverse to my mind, to my life. But Jesus never said that this is what I come to battle. But what he did come to battle was, is the way we respond to all of those things in life. That's what he come to battle. Can I, is it possible, by the grace of God, is it possible for me to love those that despisably use me? Is it possible for me to love those that hate me? Is it possible for me to have enough God in me to be able to face a wicked world and still love the people of the world and still be able to reach out the gospel to them? Is it possible for me to be able to have the grace of God to keep the smell of the world off of me? Do I have to be affected by all of the things that's happening in there? It seems like such a reverse to our country. That we're facing things, folks, that two generations ago would have never thought about. We're facing things that in my lifetime, I never could hardly imagine the things that we're facing. The things that people are thinking. What we call intelligent people are coming up with totally unintelligent ideas. They're thinking in totally unintelligible ways. It doesn't make any sense. It's all in unrighteousness. It seems like such a reverse. How do I fight such a thing? Can I fight that with logic? I try and fail every time. Can I fight that with an intelligent argument? It fails every time I try it. I think I make some good intelligent points. But they're dismissed out of hand. So what do I do with the time that I live in. The reverses that's happening. The things that happen in our life, the disappointments that happen. They'll happen. I wanted to tell you a secret about ministering. Sometimes you sit down and say, thank the Lord. God really pulled me out of that one. That made sense. You have those kind of thoughts. Then sometimes you sit down and just say, what was that? How did I? I hope that the Lord does with it more than you think. But I'm going to tell you from a minister standpoint, there's setbacks. There's disappointments. There's times that you say things you shouldn't say. There's times that you don't say it right. There's times that it comes. Now, those kind of things that happens, and God is still God. And God is able to do. There are some times as a minister, folks, that I think I've went through this. I've got this verse, and that matches with this verse, and that correlates with some Old Testament prophecies, and I got this together, and when I get up this time, I got it together, and I got it this time, and I get up, and it's a complete failure. And it's very disappointing. And God will always say, you said you'd be a servant. Serve. You said that I could lead you in any way, then let me lead you. Okay, Lord, I don't know how you benefited from that, but that's your business. It's your business to benefit in any way you want to. There is times, years ago, first trip I ever made after I was a minister, I was going to Holly Hill, South Carolina, and I got to North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, and I just saw the exit when we was coming back home this last week, and I told the family, hey, right here is where I broke down. Right here is where I broke down going to the first camp meeting I ever went to as a minister. That's not what's supposed to happen. That, in my mind, the vehicle don't break down when you're going for the Lord. The Lord can keep vehicles running. And He can. But mine was sitting beside the road at North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And I was pulled over. I remember pulling over there with the idea of, oh no. And I felt the Lord inspired a thought into my heart that made so much difference. Well, I felt like the devil spoke first. And he said, is that all the Lord can do? Here I'm gone. Is that all the Lord can do is break you down beside the road? And that brought a flood of the grace of God to me. Because I said in my heart, God spoke, what can't God do? And I started rejoicing. God, oh no, devil. That's not what all that He can do. That's the blessing of this moment. That's not all that He can do. For God's got a purpose and God's got something in this. And God taught me and trained me with that for years to come that God can work in my life. God can take care of things in my life. I have very, very few of hundreds of thousands of miles. Very, very few. Been full-time since 1995. Very, very few testimonies of being sitting beside the road. But I have a lot of testimonies of my vehicle breaking down in my driveway after coming through thousands of miles through all big cities and all that stuff with traffic. I have a lot of testimonies of water pumps going out right in the driveway, of the various things happening right in the driveway or getting home. God can take care of things. There's going to be reverses in your life. It doesn't mean that God's not with you. As a matter of fact, I will say this. It means God's with you. It can mean God is working for you in your life. to help you to understand something or need something or to reach for something or to have some a greater purpose or to have more enthusiasm about God or more desire for God. I don't think any of us can by our own will say, I'm going to have more desire for God tomorrow. If you can, teach us all, because I can't. I have to have God lead me into the places that makes me to want to have Him more. I need God to help me with those kind of things. And so reverses come into life. I remember one time sitting down somewhere in Alabama, somewhere after a meeting. I remember not exactly where I was at, but I remember the scene exactly where I'd already went out full time for the Lord. And I turned around and looked at my wife sitting over there and my little children, and I made the comment, I don't know how life could be any better than it is right now. It was so good. I was traveling with my family. The Lord was blessing. I said, I don't know how it could be any better than that. Within a very short time, my wife got sick, as most of you did, struggled for the years that she had. And she passed away some of that, and I look back at that moment over and over and over through that time and think of the statement that I said, so innocently said, life can't get no better than it is right now. I've been blessed, and the Lord's got me on the top of the mountain, and this is absolutely wonderful. And then the biggest reverses of my life started happening, and it couldn't change a thing. But I want to testify about something. God's good. God led through every bit of it. God gave grace for every setback, for every time that we needed something that we didn't have. He gave it. He gave it to us. We was able to go through all of that, sometimes with less grace than we should have had, but God was always merciful. Sometimes we should have been better, but God was always grateful. But the reverse was tremendous to me. To go from that setting to a setting of my wife passing. It was a reverse. It was a setback. But I found God so real. Proved so much that He was God. That for the time after that, if I can do anything in my ministry now that I feel like that God anoints and blesses, it's when I talk to dear brothers and dear men that say, I lost my wife. And I can say, brother, I know just how you feel. Let me tell you something about yourself. Let me tell you some things that I went through. And I've had them, men before, just cry. I've had them say, you've nailed it. It's there. I'm not saying that I didn't come up with that. God did. He put it in there. The reverses of life, that's what it was meant for. The children of Israel on the banks of Jordan needed something to go on. You remember how God did? He took them into the wilderness. It typifies something in spiritual life. They come up to a point, as many people do, and I'm not willing to tackle the reverses. I'm not willing to take this by faith in God. This setback is going to destroy me. It can depress. It can run you down. It can destroy you. For many of Israel, everyone over 20 years old, I believe, perished in the wilderness because they wasn't willing to face that problem. But there come another time, you remember, where the next generation comes up. I wonder, I don't know what the Bible says. I know that it says that Caleb said that I'm as able now as I was then. But I don't know what the land had changed much, whether it got strengthened, whether giants was bigger or anything. Probably pretty much the same way, but the next generation comes over there with the same idea. But they've been in the wilderness now for all this time. And now it's time, let's go across there. Now let's go. Let's go take this on. God promised them something and he was going to give it. God promised us spiritual land. God promised us victory. It's as capable. We are as capable to go and get it as they were to go get their land. It isn't by might. It isn't by power. It isn't by our abilities. We can't be smart enough. We can't sit down collectively and try to get it done. But we can have faith enough in God to get us to the places spiritually that we should be. I can't make myself have enough strength to forgive somebody that done me wrong. I can't change the way I feel about things. I've tried. I've tried to make myself feel different about things. I've tried to say I'm going to be more encouraged about the Lord, or I'm going to do something about this spiritually. I'm going to do that. And I find myself always short with it. Always. The only answer I ever found was me going to the Lord. The only thing I ever found was to be able to get the power and strength of God, to get close to Him, hooked to the vine. Get up to the vine, and then, yeah, there's trouble, but it's a different thing now. I have the one that can solve the problems. I got the one that can give strength in the middle of it. Jesus was here and mightier than us all. Folks, he had troubles. He had reverses. He had people come against him. He had challenges. Well, the apostles come by later. The scripture declares they're full of the Holy Ghost. The power that they had. And here goes the Apostle Paul. You would think in human reasoning that the Apostle would have such a power that the door should lift before he gets to him, Brother Jeremy, and the road just ought to clear and people ought to stand back for him. That's not what Paul's life was about. Paul's life was about shipwrecks and being bit by snakes and the Romans giving him stripes on his back and putting chains on his legs and treating him all kind of different ways and thought for dead and stoned him and all of that. All of it sounds like reverses to me. Trouble, went to preach, wanted to tell these people. They was right there and people started throwing stones. People started raising teeth. The people that I wanted to say something to never even got to hear me. But God was with him. And God led him on. And then he had his disappointments. Could you imagine the feeling that Paul must have had when he says to these people, "What are you doing? I begot you in the gospel. Now you listen to these other people that say I'm a false prophet and I'm doing this and this, and I was the one that begot you. I was the one that brought the gospel to you. You're saved today because I've, in a sense, fathered you to God." And now the disappointment that he must have had, that the very ones that he preached to and prayed with and brought to the Lord now is against him. Oh, it must have been heart-rending. But it happens. Well, it's disappointing to not have family members saved. It's disappointing. It's discouraging to see somebody that used to be close that's not close anymore. Or those kind of, it can be disappointing. Lord, what happened? I had so much confidence in that minister and he fell so hard and he lost the grace and it hurt so bad. Those things happen too. But I want to tell you, Jesus never fails. Jesus is the one that we're to look to. He ain't going anywhere. When he allows something into our life, it's because that's what we need in our lives. When I say I'm looking for the mountaintop, but the valley's all I see, he isn't just doing that because he's having fun up there in some kind of twisted way, making me feel bad. No, it's because I need a valley. That's what I don't need no mountaintop. If I needed a mountaintop, I'd be on the mountaintop. God says you need the valley for a while. You need to sense and feel, and you need this to be able to get you somewhere. Yeah, there'll be a reverse. There's going to be a log. You're going along, and all of a sudden something falls across the way, and there you are again. And then there's another, and this happens, and all those kind of things. It seems like inevitably, I tell them all the time, Lord, help me, but it seems like if I pull into McDonald's, there's only two. I always pick the wrong one. The other line just goes on by car after car, and I'm sitting over here and nothing's moving. I should have been over there. But I feel like if I was over there, this didn't move, so it don't matter anyway. It seems like it's reverses on everything. Everything I tried, it just seems like it's the wrong thing sometimes, and it just that. Maybe. May say, do you want to have some patience, Marty Clevenger? You need some patience. Slow down. Get some patience. I'm all geared up. I don't want to keep going. Well, you may say, I don't know if God's down into the whether the light's green or red. I don't know. I won't go, but I'll tell you this. This is God's world. And we're happier and healthier and better off when we just submit all of this to God and realize that God allows things into our lives for a reason. And He's created people for a reason. And some people don't seem like they ever have the reverses that others do. And it seems like others have one reverse after another, after another, after another, of no fault their own. It just is, this is in their life, and this is in another person's life, and this is this. Who can ever calculate or say what that is? But this is what I can say. We all need to just commit all of those things to the Lord. What did you go out to see when you come to the Lord? What did you expect salvation was going to be? Some of the world's Christianity teaches that if you live right, you will live to be 70 years old, because that is the promise. There is people that teaches that if you're where you should be, you won't have trouble. Some people teach that if you give your money to them, God will return your money 100-fold. Some people teach us that if you want Cadillacs and big homes, give your money to them, and then God will bless you. I'm going to tell you, none of that works. You'll be disappointed in it. It ain't going to work. But when God is in a thing, it'll work. God can change. And so you may have reverses in your life. And I'm going to say this. If you stick around here very long, you're going to have reverses in your life. There is going to be things that's going to come, and it's going to greatly challenge you. I think about it quite a bit and have no prediction for you at all. But I can say this, as life goes on, I'm going to bury you, or you're going to bury me. Someday somebody's going to bury me. Someday there's going to be something, most likely, maybe God will have mercy and I'll just go out of here easy. But God can do a lot of different ways that it is. But to set and consider here tonight that this is the ultimate end that we have. We're not staying here. This isn't our eternal home. We're not staying here. And there's going to be things that's going to come like a reverse to us. It's going to come like a backset to us if we're not in the right place. If you're in the right place with that, and you can come, and I don't say that you have to always live there, because God deals with us in the moment. And sometimes those kind of, and we're stunned and we're blessed. But I want to tell you, God can give us grace, I believe with all my heart, to be like the Apostle Paul. When he come down and knew very well they were going to take his head off, the next day his testimony was in 2 Timothy 4 is that I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. All of these things, I kept the faith. What a remarkable statement. They tried to beat it out of me. I was shipwrecked. I was snake bit. They tried to do all this stuff. I still believe what I believe. I still have faith in God. I said, Paul, how can you believe in God when you spent all those years in that dungeon, in that prison? Well, that's when he wrote a lot of the scripture. That's when he wrote the letters. That's when he died. God used him in that. How can you say that, Paul, with everything that has happened? You went along and you're saying, thank God for, for being shipwrecked. Yeah. Yeah, I told just recently, I remember one time I was coming down the hill with a bucket of paint and another guy I was working with, and I got to tripping, and I tripped for a long ways. And I fell for a long ways trying to keep from falling. And by the time I got through, I had bounced around and rolled through all of these big rocks and boulders on that mountain. And I got through, and when I landed down there, the guy that was with me, his eyes was kind of big and was like, you all right? And I said, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he looked at me and said, you're thanking the Lord for falling in a bunch of rocks? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a lot better off for it. And I'm a lot better off when it happens. That I can actually thank God. For what? For life? For limbs? For air? To breathe? To live? To have life? Yeah, I had a reverse just now. I got black and blue. I'm bruised up. But thank God, this ain't going to stop me. This ain't going to make me say, if the Lord was really watching over me, I wouldn't have failed. Where's God? No. I didn't break anything. I still have strength. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that it's not within man to walketh to direct his own steps. You can't even keep going by yourself. My dad, many of you know, passed away just a few weeks ago. My dad was a strong man most all his life. He had exceptional strength compared to the people around him. He had an endurance, an incredible endurance. When he was my age, pushing 60, he outdone about everybody around him, no matter what their age was. God had blessed him with that kind of strength through most of his life. And he had laid in the hospital bed for about 20 days, I think it was. And he told me a few days before that, he said, I'm a lot stronger than they think I am. And I was, okay, Dad. And then on about the 21st day or somewhere around there, they decided they're going to get him up out of bed and all that thing. And I come in right after they put him back to bed. And he's there with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, Marty, they got me up and my legs would not hold me up. He had legs to climb over top of these mountains with and down the valley and up the next mountain all his life. And he laid there until when they tried to stand him up, he thought he was going to show them that he was still strong. And he tried to push against his legs and it didn't happen. Nothing happened. The strength had left his legs and he laid there. He was so disappointed. It bothered him so much, the realization. And I encouraged him, Dad, it don't matter now. That's not where the strength's got to be at now. You've been saved, and God's with you, and He's going to give you another kind of strength. This is the disappointments that we can have. These kind of disappointments. When I put my trust and confidence in something like that, it'll fail at the end. But God won't fail us. So I want to encourage us tonight. Put your faith and confidence in God who never fails. The reverses that come into life, remember this. They're at the hand of God. There is no faithful person in the Scriptures that did not have reverses. And if you can think of one, there may be some that it didn't mention about them. But Abraham had his reverses. He lied about Sarah, his wife, and had that kind of deal. Moses had reverses. Remember Moses' reverses? You remember how they wanted to stone him to death? You remember David? David had his reverses. He was anointed king. That must feel pretty good. Then Saul chased him for years trying to kill him. He ran around like a bum and a vagabond. He wasn't a king. God made him a king, though, in time. But he had his reverses. Joseph was so faithful to God. Such a personality. He had his reverses. His brothers threw him in a well. Then they sold him into slavery. Then he got thrown in prison. And none of it was anything that he'd done by himself. But by God's mighty hand, the reverses led to the salvation of him and everybody, all of his family. But he was faithful. Daniel had they testified ignorantly, to say it this way, that he had the spirit of the gods in him. Well, Daniel definitely had the spirit of God. But that didn't keep them from throwing him in the lion's den. That didn't keep them from lying about him. That didn't keep them from going to kill him because the prophets wasn't doing right. He had his reverses. He had one time he prayed for 21 days. He had his reverses. He had his times. But God was faithful all through that to give the victory in it. And I'm going to say this, you're going to have reverses. There are going to be things come to happen. There may be physical afflictions. There may be emotional. You may have problems with people. You might. It's possible that you'll have conflicts with people. There is a spirit unleashed out there of just mean people. There is people out there. I went a couple years ago, year before last, I went fishing down the castle on one Saturday morning, thinking I was just getting, wasn't going to be anybody around. There wasn't when I got down there. I didn't have anybody around. I kind of liked it for the moment. It's kind of drizzly rain. I was going to see if I could catch a fish, and got down there and got the biggest cussing out of my life. And accused of things that I was not guilty of, and just cussed and raged and cussed and raged. I just ended up going and getting in my truck and just driving away, and I felt awful being done that way and all those kind of things. Well, praise the Lord. I thank God for everything He does to humble me. It never feels good. And I wouldn't order it up on my own plate. But I am always thankful when God does something, because sometimes in my life, people will say, thank the Lord for that message, Brother Marty. And there is times that I feel like the Lord blessed me, that there was some old guy down at Cass that really brought me back down to life. He brought me down and really told me what he thought I was, versus what everybody else said. And it brought down to a real place of humility to be done that way. I don't like it, but I thank God for it, because God knows what we need. And those kind of backsets and obstacles in life are designed of God for us. God knows what you need in your life. God knows how to get you that place. Flow with it. Go with it. Trust God for it. Say thank you, God. What do you want out of this? How do you want me to respond to this? So I get all of this thing and it's a disaster. So I have a plan and it don't work. Lord, what are you trying to do in it? How do you want it to work out? And I think God will really bless us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.